I don't know about you, but during this pandemic, Bonnie and myself, during our time of isolation, we feel as if we're Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. This repetitive feeling, the same thing over and over each day, and we're losing track of what day it is almost. But in one of these days of our routine day with Judah, he's waking up from a nap. And in this, right before, we hear him stirring on our nanny cam on our phone, and I'm having this sense of overwhelmingness of love that I tell Bonnie, don't worry about it, I'm going to go back there to him. And as I'm watching Judah there on the phone, and I'm observing him, and he's not woken up in panic like sometimes he does. He's just sitting there playing with one of his stuffed animals. And I'm watching him there, and I'm making my way down the hallway, and I'm imagining myself picking up Judah and holding him and hugging him and just giving him that love that he so desperately needs in these infant years. And I'm making my way to the door, and I open it up, and again I'm imagining and saying, hey, or I'm talking to Judah, and I'm saying, hey buddy, how's it going? And in that moment, Judah just kind of looks up at me. Now, I'm in my mind, I've got like a split-way screen. Over here, I'm imagining this embracing of Judah smiling and looking up at me. But in reality of the other screen, he's kind of looking at me with a "what do you want?" kind of look. And so I just kind of blurt out the split screen, and I just move towards Judah, and I go to pick him up, and as I'm moving towards him to pick him up, he turns away and lays on his belly. And it isn't a turn away of playing and laughing. It's a turning away of I don't want you right now. And in that moment, my heart was crushed. I was so ready to unload my love onto him, to hold him and to bring him out of the crib and be in the living room together as a family. And I realized in that moment, friends, God was speaking to me, because there's been numerous times that I've been just like Judah. That God in his loving and mighty ways is reaching down to embrace his love on me, and I turn and harden my heart in the other direction. Friends, do not harden your heart. Turn with me to Psalms 95. Psalms 95, the psalmist begins in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Let us pray. God of heaven, we look to you. We look to you in these moments of crisis. It seems as if the world is falling apart around us. God of heaven, draw near to what seems to be your people scattered. Unite our hearts in this time of worship. draw near as we draw near to you. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the author of this Psalm of 95, there is no credit given to the author. As you look through some of the different psalms, you actually see the author and what the situation, what the psalm was for. Now, Paul, he gives credit to David as the author of Psalms 95 when you study Hebrews. Now, Paul actually goes on a totally different theology spin than what we're going to study here this morning. But what I believe the author as being David, he gives three simple steps. Three steps that answer the question of how do we not harden our hearts, test and try God as did the children of Israel in the wilderness. Three steps that will remedy the hardened heart. Three preventive steps that will vitalize your wayward heart. Three preventative steps that will cause you to have a new perspective of the Christian life. Step number one is come. Now, there are three different comes that occur in this psalm. The first being of verse 1, O come and let us sing to the Lord. And then in verse 2, let us come before his presence. And then also in verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Now, as you see in English, the word come is come, C-O-M-E. And in our mindset, we think, well, I need to progress forward, or it's an invitation to come as well, to whether it be a physical location or an abstract location. Now, what's interesting, beautiful, that many scholars think that, well, this is just a poetic structure of using a different way to be creative in the word come. But the three different words of the Hebrew language that are used of come, each one has a totally different meaning in its entirety. So the first of verse 1, David says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Now this first come is an action. It's a realization of a needing of an action, of a traveling to, of approaching, whether it be a physical location or an abstract location. So this is understanding as being on the outside of something. So let's say you're in sin, you're here, and God is over here in his holiness. So this come is an invitation of being, of walking away, of saying goodbye, of the realization of your sinful ways, of your worldly ways, in knowing I need something better. Now the second come comes in verse 2. He says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Now this one is translated as walking or leaving behind. So in the first come, you have the realization of, I need something better. The second come is making the action of moving towards something. And a clue is actually given in the word of thanksgiving. You're realizing that that old way of life, I no longer want. I am thanking you, Lord, with thanksgiving because I know that you will provide something better for me than what was before. Now, the third come comes in verse 6. It's actually kind of crescendoing down. You almost, as you read through it, you can kind of sense the now it is the approaching. And that's what this third come is all about. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. So this word is, you have arrived at the location that you need to be. In the presence of the living God. So in this approaching, it's also tagged in with a greeting of, I no longer want this sin, this old way of living. I'm bidding it farewell. I'm saying goodbye to to my old self. Now, think of it as a simple example of being in your homes. You're opening up the refrigerator and you're seeing, I'm going to need some more condiments. I need milk. I'm running low on my veggies and fruit. I know what I'll do. I'll go to the store. So in the first situation of the fridge, you see your need. The second is going to the location, moving to or towards the place where you know where the objects of what you need will be. Third, you arrive at the store. You take the things that you need off the shelf and you have them in your possession. Friends, this is sanctuary language. This is what the Israelites of old would do. They realized in their sins, I have committed sins, but I'm not going to stay here in this sin. I'm going to praise the living God. I thank Him. I'm moving towards Him because He has made atonement. Which leads us to our second step of worship. Now, the term worship, this is actually something that could be really argumented. Well, we think worship should be this way. We think worship should be that way. And I'm sure there's many people who would say worship is this, 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 and this, where others would say, no, 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 worship is that, 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 and that. Now, this morning, that's not my argument. That's not my reason, because I believe that there's, And I'm not teaching this per se, but there's no set in stone ways as to worship. But the Bible does give some common ways to worship God. And the challenge of being in this pandemic that we're in, that we're not coming to the location of worshiping together. The church building that you attend, whether it be here at Bowman Hills or somewhere else, we don't have that place where we can have that worship experience. So I'm going to give you 10 different ways that are common throughout the Bible that I want to challenge you as most of us are in isolation, that you try blending these in your worship. Try experimenting with some that I've never really thought to worship God in that way. So, number one is through music. This is actually prescribed in what David says. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully with music. It's a beautiful way in which you can actually worship the living God. And right now, I want to challenge you who have handheld devices or laptops or anything. Put down in the comment box, what is your favorite music, your favorite song that you love to worship with God? So go ahead, those who can, right now, put down your favorite song that you love worshiping with God. So moving on, number two, prayer. This is one of the most common ways in which we worship God in our own place. But even in public worship is through prayer. Number three, praise and thanksgiving. Being thankful in your worship, praising God, not being humdrum, oh poor pitiful me, but leaving those sins behind. Number four, confessing of your sins. Friends, it's vital. We have to have the blood of Jesus covering us. Number five, the Word. This is the Bible. This is the Logos. This is Jesus' love letter to us. Number six, listening. This is pausing. This is listening to the Lord God speaking to your heart. Number seven is giving. And there's many ways in which you can give, not just financially. Number eight, serving. This is kind of blended in with number seven. There's beautiful ways that you can be uniquely serving your community, your church family during this pandemic. Number nine, nature. This is one of my most favorite ways to be a part of nature, to go out and just commune with God and just being still and watching His beautiful creation unfold. And number 10, all day, friends. This isn't just in the morning when you have your manna. And yes, it will last you throughout the day, but I challenge you, what did you even, by the end of the day, what did you study there at the beginning of the morning? This should be a constant thing, worshiping throughout the day. And I want to challenge you that you try to do these 10 different practices in your worship to God. But I don't want you to make it a checklist. Oh, I did this, I did number 7, I did number 8, number 10. Don't make the Christian experience of worshiping God a checklist. But in true desire, true confession of heart, don't do the same ritualistic chastisement of Martin Luther crawling up the steps and bashing his back and whipping of trying to make atonement for his sins. Don't beat yourself. Don't beat others. Stop trying of your own power. Stop hardening your hearts. Listen. And David gives a reason for this list, for this worshiping in verses 3-5. And it says, "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land." Friends, when you come into the presence of God, you realize his beauty, you realize what he has done, the power of his creation, the beautiful handiwork of the skies, the amazing thing, the breath that is in your lungs, that was in your father's lungs, your grandfather's lungs, so on and so forth, all the way back to Adam, was the same breath that breathed into life that is coming into you. This very moment, God is creator. But you have to experience it for yourself. Think with me of a toothache. I don't know if you've experienced this excruciating pain of a toothache that can cause you to lose sleep until you get it fixed. And then you tell your friend what tooth it is. It's this one, and it's right there. And the friend's looking at it, and I don't see anything. It looks perfectly fine to me. I can't force you into worshiping God. You have to experience it yourself. Just like the toothache, until you have one, you don't know it. Leading into step number three is vital in the steps to the process of the Christian life. This is that of kneeling down. Now, kneeling down, it's a place of submission. Kneeling down is a place of saying, "I am lower than you, God." Kneeling down is saying, "I'm not doing my own way anymore." But as a millennial of my generation, I've been trained, I've been taught, I can do it as long as I go and do it myself. So that tells me deep down inside, the way that I've been trained, is don't tell me how to do it. And I don't know if you're like me, maybe of another generation, you might be thinking of the same way, but David is leading in to the reasons of why we are to worship God. Why we are kneeling down. This crescendo from verses 3-5 into verses 6-7. David says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." David is saying, look, we're wayward sheep. God is our shepherd. God is the one that's looking out for us. He is our God. This is the reason and why we kneel down. This is the reason why we worship in submission to him. But David says next in verse 7, there at the end, he says, "Today, if you will hear his voice." Now, I don't know about you. This really hit me big this week, because I have always interpreted that the way that I wanted to interpret it. The way I would interpret it was, "Today, if you hear his voice." But that's not what the language says here. It says, "Today, if you will hear his voice." Not if you hear his voice. It's your choice. It's your choice to heed his voice. Your choice to listen to what his voice has to say. In the kneeling down aspect is that you are stopping of your murmuring, stopping of your complaining, and listening to the voice of God. Because what David says next is the preventative reasons of why he's telling the people, telling us today, to not harden our hearts as the children of Israel did. They were put on trial. They tested God. And time again, when you go back and you read the Exodus, you see that God constantly provided. God constantly was there. God is, God will be, and always will be. Are you doing what you think is right in the sight of the Lord God Almighty? Not in just your actions, not in just that checklist, "I did this, I did that, I did that, I didn't do this, I didn't do that," but in your minds, friends. Doing what is right in the sight of God is following his commands, keeping his statutes, giving ear, listening to him. Exodus 15 and 26, Moses says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, giving ear to his commandments and keeping all the statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." You have a choice to trust God or to not. The children of Israel chose not to. The psalmist says they were a people who went astray in their own hearts. They had the luxuries of Egypt. Stocks, piles of fish in the water, fields of grain, food at their own choice, the Nile River for the abundance of water flow. Friends, I believe that God has given us time now. Many of us are in isolation. Many of us are alone. We're not in our normal busy routines. I believe that God is giving us time to search our hearts, time to confess our sins, time to be done with our waywardness, that constant sin that befalls us, but finally moving into the presence of the mighty God. Will you decide today to hear his voice, to trust God or to not? Now I want you to imagine with me an art exhibit. I've personally never been to one, but I've seen enough movies and television shows that have art exhibits, so I kind of have an understanding, and I know that you probably do as well. But in this art exhibit, you're looking at all the unique memories of your life. Those are on display. No one else is looking at it. It's you and you alone in this art exhibit. And as you're looking at all these places of these sceneries, there's good memories. That time that you went to the amusement park and you had so much fun with your friends and your family. Times of hurt, times of pain that you wish every bit of to get rid of. And I want you to imagine, as you're walking down the art hallway of your life, these exhibits, that Jesus is there with you. And I want you to imagine Jesus coming up to certain ones, and then you and him, as you're walking together, you look at the picture, and you have two choices. You could say, Jesus, I love this. I want to do everything to keep this memory. And Jesus says, yeah, of course, I want you to have that memory. I want you to have that. But then on the other hand, those bad places, those painful places that you just can't seem to get out of your mind, can't seem to get out of your heart. And you ask Jesus, you say, can I do away with this one? And Jesus says, no, I need this to stay there. But what I want to do is put my blood over this picture. And in this moment, friends, of whatever that image may be for you, that now you ask Jesus to put his blood over that situation. And that from that picture being so vivid in your mind is turning red with the blood of Christ. Friends, these images, these places can cause your heart to harden, to question God, to say he really isn't a part of my life. He really isn't doing these things. By following these three preventative steps, friends, you are going to come into the presence of the living God. And in there, you will worship the living God. And in that time of worship, you will bow down to the Lord God, your Maker. And you will not harden your hearts as the Israelites did in the wilderness. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful. There's so much chaos going around us, so much hurt and pain. Right now, Jesus, I pray in your name that you draw near. Draw near to your loving people who have desire to want to follow you in this moment. That they say, no more will I let these hardening of my hearts weigh me down, but Jesus, that you will take the stony hearts and make them into a heart of flesh. And in that, we can enter into your rest. Protect us, Father God, for you are our shepherd, and we come before you. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.